He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and shepherd of entrepreneurs.
Ah, and he is Aubrey Goodman, developer and really everything extraordinaire, and the Sultan of San Francisco, which this is the first time that we've talked since you've been here. This is a little thing that we call Distilled, and it's been a minute, at least a week or two since we recorded the last episode. You can check out the other episodes at distilledradio.com. I think there's a Twitter account or something, maybe, like at Distilled Radio?
At Distilled Radio.
You can send gallon-sized jugs of liquor to whatever the address is here.
Actually, don't do that.
Oh. Send 2-gallon-sized jugs of liquor.
Yeah. Maybe.
So we're back. We're back as a... Or maybe we're front. I don't know. back is an interesting word for it. But I was fortunate enough to find myself in San Francisco for the week doing some work with a large tech company here. And
I love how nobody ever actually says the name. It's like recruiters, anybody talking about anything in the technology universe. Yeah. Nobody ever actually just says, I'm here working for...
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm here working for Google.
There we go.
If you need to know the truth, doing work for Google. And so here in San Francisco, and thought, hey, why don't we come by and squat at the Anki headquarters?
That is correct.
And
recording currently in the kitchen.
Do this again.
Because I don't think Justin wants to sign the NDA.
Not particularly.
And that's just fine.
I'll take it, though, to wallpaper my bathroom with all the others.
It's a spacious kitchen.
It is a spacious kitchen. You can probably hear the accoutrement behind us.
Maybe. I tried to unplug the refrigerator, but it didn't work. Yeah. But yeah, I'm extra pleased that you're here.
It's fantastic.
It's been entirely too long.
It's been a long time.
But yeah, let's dive in, man. Like, you just got off the bus tour to... Innovation Land.
Talk about dad jokes. Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
So I just got back from Startup Bus. For those of you who don't know, Startup Bus is a 72-hour-ish hackathon and startup competition that happens at 70 miles an hour on a bus while the bus is moving, not just like sitting on a bus. At about 70 miles an hour. Not exactly 70 miles an hour. I checked the speedometer. They peg it right there.
Yeah. It's probably governed.
By the way, the speed limit in Kansas is 75. I've never seen that before.
Oh, yeah?
That was pretty cool.
Wide open land. Nothing to see.
Nothing to do. I don't know why it's not 105. Whatever.
I don't know why there's a limit at all. Some places in the northern states, there's no limit.
Really?
Yeah, Montana, I don't think has a...
Seriously? It's just speed limit? Null.
No, they just don't even spend the money to put up the signs.
I love that. That's great. Anyway, so, you know, you hop on Startup Bus and you go and try to conceive of, build, launch a startup in 3 days with a bunch of folks that you don't know. And then you go compete against other buses. There are buses that come from all over the continent. This year we had 6 buses. We had a bus from Tampa or Florida in general. A bus from New York, bus from Ohio, bus from Vancouver, Mexico City, and San Francisco.
Was it really a bus from San Francisco?
Yep, there was.
That is a fascinating concept in and of itself, but we'll get back to that.
Yes, yes, yes. That was the transportation bus. So anyway, but... I realize saying that now without any context, it's like, well, of course it was a transportation bus. That's what a fucking bus is transportation. But we'll come
and
back
for those
to
of you drinking playing along with the distilled drinking game, every time we curse, you have to drink.
That's right. We're earning that label on iTunes. You better get a gallon-sized jug. So anyway, that's the deal. This is my third year on Startup Bus. Have you done Startup Bus before?
You know, I didn't. I was teaching a class 1 year, and I forget who exactly. I think it was Susie, even, who said, like, you should be conducting the bus this year.
Yeah.
And I said I want to, but I was, it was like the last week of class that I was teaching that overlapped with that. And I can't leave my students hanging like, so, hey guys, just y'all get B's. Cool.
Well, you could.
I mean, they did, but they earned the B's. That's the important part.
That's a weak.
So yeah, no, I never did the bus as a contestant or a
conductor. Yeah. So this was my third year. I've been a buspreneur, as we call them, for 2 years, and then I conducted the bus this year with Ashley Mooney, and it was cool. It was a good time. Conducting the bus is a much different experience than riding the bus.
I don't doubt it.
It's a much more stressful experience, if you can imagine. I mean, being a buspreneur is stressful in its own right, but conducting is like,
well,
I mean, you're like a chaperone. I can't believe how much adults can be like children.
Yeah.
When you put them on a bus, it's amazing. Like, I'll tell you the counting story in a second. Unbelievable. But anyway, it was cool. This year was interesting because they did something new this year on the bus that's never been done before, which is every bus had a theme.
Okay.
So in the past, the way that it's worked is like you just hop on a bus and you come up with any idea you want, right? I want to build a, you know, YouTube for beagles. Okay, cool. Beagle tube. Do it. And you make it.
It's a good thing this is not a video podcast, because then you don't get to see the sheer look of terror and disgust on my face when I hear the words beagle tube.
It does conjure some rather disturbing imagery.
Anyway.
So This year, the idea was to have themes. So every bus would have a theme, and then everything built on the bus would be in relation to that theme. And the idea behind doing that, well, I don't know what the idea behind doing it was, but we did it, right? I mean, the idea was that it would just make it more interesting. There's a better story to tell, a more interesting narrative, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Blah, blah. So Florida's theme was food and beverage.
Okay.
Because I was a conductor.
Of course.
And I wanted to make shit about beer. And nobody did. And I was pissed. But it was food and beverage because Tampa and Florida in general is a very big hospitality restaurant area. There's a lot of restaurant companies there. Bloomin' Brands is there. Mm-hmm. Darden is there. Headquarters for a bunch of restaurants. Big test market for restaurants, blah, blah, blah. The idea was if we could build things for that industry, because of the people that we know in that industry, because of the folks we know in both the like craft beer world, restaurant world, hospitality world, if there were good ideas that came back, we could like introduce them to actual customers and like better chance of sustainability for the startups, right?
Sure. So you probably primed Joey Redner of Cigar City Brewing to say like, hey, we might be feeding you some great ideas.
Exactly.
And he was, I don't know if you did actually do that. Or if that's a follow-up thing more than a primer thing. Thing. Yeah. I was hoping you had, because then we could talk about what he said, but maybe another time.
Yeah, that's a complicated thing, but we'll get there.
I'm gonna need all of you people in the radio audience to sign this waiver.
Yeah, you can all mail your NDAs too.
Yeah, no, no.
So that was it. So we had three teams on the bus. Actually, some pretty fucking interesting stuff. Drink. There were three teams on the bus. One team made a thing called Glass Table. Glass Table is basically a marketplace for local farmers and farm-to-table restaurants.
Okay.
So the problem goes like this. So Glass Table is this marketplace for local farmers, and the problem goes like this is that if you have a farm-to-table restaurant, what they found was these folks spend about 15 hours a week of their time on the phone with local restaurants trying to negotiate prices, trying to set up shipping, trying to find out inventory levels, right? It's a lot of time that they spend doing this.
Right.
And so they try to automate that via a marketplace where farmers could, like, in real time, kind of post what they have available. The restaurants could go ahead and purchase it. And they did an integration with Uber because Uber has a new API called Uber Rush, which is delivery. And they integrated with that so that small batches of stuff could be delivered via Uber Rush automatically to the restaurant, right? So it vastly cut down on the amount of time that the restaurant spends negotiating and working with local farmers. That's pretty cool.
Kind of making that marketplace a little bit more efficient. It was Goss Table.
You got to give props to Uber for having an API that lets them just bring new business in just by exposing something like that.
Yeah.
Because you know they're taking a cut.
Oh, absolutely they are. Yeah.
And of course they handle the if they're actually handling the delivery, which they would be if it's their API,
yep,
then it's API as a sales tool, which is actually a totally awesome thing for maybe another episode.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. It's only in a few markets, and we had to sign an NDA to even use it.
Yeah.
Because
San Francisco.
Because there's
so much competition here, and especially in that kind of scale space.
Yeah.
They're doing a very good job of protecting that.
Yep.
By not telling you.
Right.
Well, not telling me. They told you.
But, yeah. Right. But, yeah.
That's great.
So that was Glass Table. Another one was called Hone. Hone is basically hiring with artificial intelligence and neural networks. So basically the problem goes like this. One of the biggest problems with restaurants especially is turnover. Their turnover rate for employees that turn over within a year, 72%.
Wow.
Which is, that's the average rate. Turnover. That's astounding, right? And it costs them, they found a number that said it costs them $491 to hire a new person. So now let's take a 40-person restaurant, turn over all, 72% of those people times $491 per person that you're turning over. That's a lot of money spent every year on this problem. For a restaurant that doesn't have very big margins to begin with, right?
And it's a permanent problem.
And it's a permanent problem.
It's one of those jobs that no one is ever supposed to keep more than a year or two. It's like a transition job until you're blank.
Yeah.
People say, I'm going to work in a restaurant while I'm
doing this. Right.
Insert 80 things that
becoming
you do
an
in
actor.
Life.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That last one, though? No, I don't know. That
or
one might
starting
be a permanent
a tech company.
That, certainly. Yeah. You might as well buy the restaurant because you're going to be there a while.
You're going to spend less money buying the restaurant.
That is accurate.
So basically, the way that it works is, what they realized is that, and they had some people on the team who worked at restaurants, obviously, because almost everybody's worked at a restaurant at some point. And what they realized was that there are some employees that do stay a long period of time, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera. And if they could, so how do you find those people and help the restaurant hire more of those people to reduce the rate, the churn rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they built an application system that, the restaurant can put together their application. Right. Just their job application, host it out on the cloud somewhere. Right. So they can link to it and people can fill it out. Now you take the answers to those job application, those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you track how long that applicant, if they were hired, stayed at the restaurant. And then over time you learn which type of answers result end up with people that stay longer, right? So you can say the people who are likely to stay over a year answer the questions in these certain ways. You see these kind of phrases, they talk in this kind of way.
Right.
And so it learns over time
to
help develop a profile of the perfect applicant for your restaurant, right? You could use this for any high turnover job, really.
So you could match, you say it's important that they use this ratio of likes and you knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. This is the perfect golden ratio.
Exactly.
And then you find anybody who uses that ratio in their application and say, this is a good fit for you.
Exactly.
It's like the perfect application of Bayesian inference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's great. And it sounds like the data set you'd have would make it really easy to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Machine learning.
Yeah, I think so. And you
structured
can do it across all the restaurants in the network. Right. So the whole network can learn very quickly.
Exactly.
Right. So that was really cool. I really hope they keep building that. And what's cool is it's called Hone, which is a cool name to begin with. But Hone is also an acronym for Hire Once, Not Every Day.
Oh, right.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's
right? So
that's good.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It's a clever name.
Yeah, they made it to the finals, and Glass Table made it to the finals. All three Florida teams made it to the semifinals. Thank you very much. Something that's never been done, ever. Thank you, coach.
Don't hurt your shoulder patting yourself on the back.
All right? That ego is really heavy.
Come back to me when you have a $1 million annual stipend for that coach position.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. And then the other one was called Team Smith. Team Smith, this is also really cool. And the thing that this guy built on the bus is remarkable. I've never seen anything built that's this cool in this short amount of time. It's a virtual reality training for bartenders. So here's the problem. The problem is when you have a new bartender in your restaurant or bar or whatever it is, you have to train them. You train them on the drinks, the liquors, the glassware to use, all that kind of thing. And the training typically takes a few weeks of a senior bartender sitting with that person, making drinks with them. They practice, blah, blah, blah. You use real liquor, which you waste.
Sure.
Glasses get broken. Yep. Stuff gets spilled. Fair amount of cost. And you take a bartender away from their normal duties to do that training.
Right.
So what they built was virtual reality training that could use like a Kinect, essentially, and a VR headset. And you can build the actual bar that you have and the actual glassware and liquor in this virtual space.
Right.
And train and get the muscle memory in a virtual space with your actual bar layout.
Oh, wow.
It's so that when you get behind the bar,
it's where you expect it to
be. And you can do it at home. You could do it and you don't waste any liquor.
Yeah.
And you could train by yourself. It can score you on your efficiency and all that kind of thing.
That's clever.
Really clever. And they built an entire VR engine.
And I have to say, this is an excellent segue into one thing I have been really wanting to talk about, which is Microsoft's HoloLens.
HoloLens.
That's their head-mounted virtual augmented reality system. It's like partially AR, partially VR.
Yep.
It has some really incredible features. One of them is the geometry scanning that is like built in, that every frame of the camera is just always being passed through this geometry meshing system.
Sure.
So it uses the camera, stereo camera imagery to identify mesh, like geometry in the world. So it uses the IMU in essentially like the center of mass of your head and the rotation and tilt and all that, coupled with the camera to generate a 3D mesh.
That's
as you move around it, you can, like, they did this because they do things like one of the features, like right out of the box in the dev kit, is the ability to gesture. So the cameras can also see your hands. So when you gesture, it's a visual cue to the computer to do something.
Right.
And there's standard gestures, and they train you on how to do that when you start using it. But one of the things you can do is like tap on a surface in the 3D space in your AR, and it will add whatever you want there. Like you can add a window, you could add like a painting, a video, a TV stream. So you can put a TV stream in augmented reality space where the TV is if you want, and watch two things at once overlaid over each other. But that's terrible. What you would actually do for that sort of stuff is, in this particular example, is you would use the 3D meshing system to generate the bar.
Right.
So the bar owner would one time have to go through and like stand in the center of the bar and look around and let it scan. And it would give you like a progress indicator and be like, okay, turn this way, turn that way. And then once it's finished, it's like, cool, I've got your bar layout.
Yep.
And it knows based on, like, because it's a pretty high resolution camera, it can actually read the bottles and identify which one is which.
No kidding.
From, you know, 3 meters away.
Yep.
And so that way it could actually start, in addition to taking the geometry mesh, it could start doing like OCR and object identification in the space, in, you know, maybe like on a background thread or something. And
that's awesome.
That would give you the ability to scan your bar into this virtual space.
That's really interesting, because like one of the things that the judges asked him about was like, it sounds pretty labor intensive to build a custom bar.
To build the bar, exactly.
Place, how are you going to do that at scale?
But if you had
the answer is this.
Essentially the same, like a much more sophisticated version of the 3D imagery that I worked on with Tourist, which eventually became Sphere.
Right.
Which we sold to Google.
Right.
So that same tech is now real time and stereo.
Jesus.
It's only been like 5 years.
Right. What's happening? Oh, man.
And it's head mounted. Awesome. And the most amazing thing about the HoloLens, and one of our engineers, or one of the UX guys here, has bought a dev kit, and they're not cheap. They're $3,000.
Oh, wow.
You get the whole thing, but it's not like one of the things that sets it apart from the Oculus is that the Oculus is, it requires a rather beefy computer to be plugged into it. It's just the display. But the HoloLens is the entire computer.
Okay.
It's like having an iPad that is also an AR VR system mounted to your head.
Jesus.
Except not as clumsy as that sounds.
That is right.
Yeah. So that's pretty intense.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, that's really, really cool. I wish I'd known about that. I would have steered them that way. They built it for like Google Cardboard, basically.
Yeah. And that's a perfect way to go.
Great. I mean, especially on a bus for in 3 days.
Hilarious, by the way, is the idea of Google Cardboard as a longevity product? Like, how does it lasted this long?
Right.
So we're going to take an Android phone and we're going to put it in this little cardboard fixture and you're going to wear that on your head instead of spending $600 on an Oculus Rift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
It's not stereo.
It's
not
April Fool's
HD.
Joke that like stuck. Like people were like, oh, it was you were joking?
It was a gag at Google I.O. 2 years ago. And it just kept going.
So great. Oh my God. Yeah.
Now it's like a dev kit you can buy, your cardboard dev kit.
I love it. I love it.
That
was cool. They actually got a letter of intent also. They got 5 letters of intent on this product from restaurants.
Nice.
One of those letters of intent was actually from a spark plug manufacturer who wanted to train their people on like their, you know, assembly line people or technicians or whatever it is, right? Yeah.
It sounds like very much what one of the things we wanted to do with Google Glass in past projects unnamed on the air. I was working on, or we were discussing the potential of working on in the space of arming a service tech in a auto repair shop with Google Glass and being able to do like a snapshot of everything they do. It's a head mounted thing. You can provide that out to the customer and, you know, they can be watching the progress of their service while they're sitting in the waiting room. You hand them an iPad and you say, here's games, you can watch the progress, whatever. And they wait and they could see the progress. They get an artifact that lasts forever of all of, you know, it's a much more comprehensive service than you get right now, which is, I hope you did something.
Right.
You have no evidence as a consumer that anything has happened unless your brakes no longer squeal and they did before or they do now and they didn't before.
Right.
All you can do is a diff based on your own anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
But not great.
So, I mean, there's been a lot of issues with any kind of technology integration into that space is difficult because it's dirty. You can't do touch things because you're going to get grease all over an iPad.
Right. Right. You have to.
You drop it, it breaks.
Is really the way to go.
It's dirty. So head-mounted even is tricky because you're never going to get a service tech shop to spend, you know, $4,000 on a head-mounted rig for 3 or 4 guys.
But they could get Google Cardboard.
Yeah. But more importantly, they might spend, if it's like, the service tech side is probably not viable. But the places that are viable are like manufacturing, industrial training.
Yeah, who's
that
doing
stuff,
a lot of training anyway?
You don't want those people actually. Like, there's a huge liability, basically, to put untrained people in a dangerous environment where they could accidentally lop off someone's arm by pressing the wrong button.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And in those kinds of scenarios, you don't have lost arms. Because there's no arm, because it's a virtual environment.
Right.
All you get is a heads-up display that says, you have died.
Minus one life.
Yeah. If you lose 10, you're fired before you start. You know, like, you can gamify it.
Right.
And even do things like,
you could set salaries based on performance in the training simulation.
That's the long tail on that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think
absolutely.
that's really valuable. I'm really interested in the spark plug companies. Intrigue, like, how do they even find them?
I have no clue. I need to, Nick Price was on that team. Nick Price was hustling up a lot of this stuff, of course, because Nick Price is like the penultimate hustler. it was really cool. So that was, you know, that was it. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
That's
great. I love the Startup Bus. When I moved to San Francisco, I lived in the startup house, which is shout out to them.
I want to go see it while I'm here.
Affiliated businesses. Yeah. Startup house is a similar concept, but it's a hostel So it's a non-moving 0 mile per hour entrepreneurship zone.
Which is the standard speed for most entrepreneur
zones. I think so.
Yeah.
That's here in San Francisco. It's basically just it's a hub for international traveling students and just people who are interested in entrepreneurship. And it's a really great place. It's, you know, like I said, it's also a hostel, so they have a lot of people. I think they have, I don't know, 40 or 50 beds or something like that.
Wow.
And so they have a really high turnover. They're always full.
Yep.
At least they were when I was there. I stayed there for about a month and a half, and it was a great time. It was also very convenient for me because it's 2 blocks from my office.
Oh, is it that close?
Yeah, it's literally
shit.
Very
wow.
close.
I should go walk by that.
No, it was a lot of fun, and there's just, you meet so many great people. They constantly have events. It's also a co-working space on the first floor, so it's a really great business venture. And it's again affiliated with the Startup Bus community at large. So check them out.
Yeah.
They host events, meetups, pitch competitions. They do a lot of stuff. Very similar, a lot of synergy with the same.
It's cool.
Same stuff that the bus is doing. That's great, man. So any highlights from any of the other buses? Well, who was the final winner? Do you know?
Final winner was a San Francisco company.
Dicks.
Fucking San Francisco. they made a thing called Tub that, best I can tell, and to be quiet, I'm a little bitter, but I don't lose easily. I will say, out of the 5 finalists, 40% were from Florida. Yeah. Thank you very much. Fucking Tub. But no, like Tub built a thing that like integrated with the Uber API, and if I recall correctly, basically like pulled up shit on your reading list to read while you wait for an Uber.
Interesting.
I think it may be much more.
Hopefully they do more than that.
Interesting than that.
That doesn't sound better than the other thing.
It doesn't sound that way.
But that's the beautiful thing of these kinds of competitions.
Right.
The best idea is not always the winner. And the one that does end up winning sometimes
is the best pitch.
But just like with similar events like Startup Weekend, sometimes the winners go on to substantially excellent futures.
Yeah,
one of the Startup Weekend Tampa winners years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah,
was then Exmo, I think, back then.
Yeah,
then became EventJoy. Moved to San Francisco after going through Y Combinator, and then sold for I don't know how much to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I mean enough to where Todd took a year off and went and traveled for a year. So yeah, I mean,
lucky bastard.
Did okay.
He did okay.
Did okay.
His office is actually just
also 2 blocks.
2 blocks away.
How small is this city? Everything is 2 blocks away.
Yeah,
it's very weird.
I ran into him on the street once before he went traveling, but
oh, no kidding.
He's like, hey. And I'm like, yeah, you should come over and check out our office. That was like 7 months ago. I haven't seen him yet.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he just got back, actually.
I think, if
I recall correctly.
Yeah. That sounds right.
The posts. But yeah,
man.
It's cool. I mean, it's a good thing to do. You learn a lot. Usually nothing comes out of it, but it's a great learning experience, you know? And like Dave McClure says, he would rather hire someone who's been on Startup Bus than somebody who has an MBA. So
yeah, well, I mean, an MBA is kind of an easy thing. It's just like college, like undergrad, right? Like I had so many engineering classmates who were deer in the headlights when you ask them anything other than a really well-formed question.
Right.
Right. You know, if you give them basically all the things they need on a thing that says given colon bullet point bullet point bullet point, what is this answer?
Right.
They can do that. Just fine. But if you ask them to identify a problem in the world, just epically
not gonna
just
work.
Complete fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like the same thing is true of MBA. You know, you'd get a lot of folks who are going because they think it's the next step in their career, but they don't know why they're there.
Right.
It
right.
seems more popular than the other reason.
I think it's a box to tick for most people.
Exactly.
You
can,
and nobody even. No one questions why the box is even there. They're just like, well, the box is there, so I must check the box. Not like, wait, is this the right box? Like, why did this box there?
It makes me wonder, is that box even there on one of those restaurant hone applications?
Right, right.
Do you have an MBA? Check. You're fired.
You're
why are you still
minus
here?
One life.
Yeah, exactly. Because hopefully if you have an MBA, you're not still working in a restaurant. Sorry to anyone who for whom that is true.
Which is probably a surprising amount of people.
I doubt any of them listen to this podcast.
Probably
though.
Not. Well, considering we have like five listeners.
Yeah.
And those five are all like two, like our parents and a couple friends.
I did. Amazingly, I saw 160 downloads last week.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
No lie. No lie at all.
Was it a bot?
Maybe. Fucking but nice. Thank you, people, for listening. Because
yes.
you're the ones who keep the lights on, as it were.
Ish.
I mean, none of you have ever sent us money.
No,
please don't actually, because cash in the mail is not a good idea.
Not typically, no, not typically.
But feel free to buy either of us a beer when you're in either San Francisco or Tampa.
Yes,
either
Bay Area.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is 100% of the Bay Areas.
That's
though.
All the Bay Area.
Like, I mean. Fuck you, Maryland, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Baltimore hometown.
Baltimore.
I've upgraded to a bigger bay, apparently.
Let's not get started on Baltimore. We don't even want to go down that road.
For the entirety of that road, see a past episode called A Snowball's Chance in Baltimore.
Yes. Callback.
Sadly, we won't get any upticks in that one because no
nope.
one cares.
That's
at all.
True.
But thank you for caring.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And thanks, Justin, for showing up in San Francisco and being willing to sit down for half an hour and
damn right.
drop some hot fire into the mic.
Hot fire, baby. Let's go.
I instantly regretted saying that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to Distilled this time. And hey, we'll be back in a year or two.
You know.
Ish.
Let's hope not.
We'll see you.
Thanks for listening, folks.